all to our Monday night simulcast conference call. It's on a telephone line and on BBS radio. And we're, as those of you that have checked in before or listening to us know, that we go through the first couple of minutes of the call just checking people in who are coming into the conference call. We have a few people on the conference call right now. Anybody like to say their name and their city?
Glenda, Mesa, Arizona.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi.
And
David, Sedona.
David in Sedona. Hi, David.
Hi, Wynn.
And who else?
Julie in Washington.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Wynn.
What city in Washington are you?
Federal Way. We're just south of the SeaTac airport.
South of SeaTac. Okay. And who else is on the line?
Hi, I'm Donna from Raleigh.
Wait a second. I heard Raleigh. What's your name?
Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Donna, you're becoming a regular.
Yes.
Nice to have you. And who else is on the line?
Sandy from Cottonwood.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Kathy from Tennessee.
Kathy in Tennessee.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, it's Marielle from Los Angeles.
I could tell from the hello that it was Marielle.
Well, I don't know if other people could or if I'm on the radio right now or not.
You're on the radio.
Oh, hello, world.
Okay.
Good to meet you all. It's going to be a good evening tonight, I know.
Now, Marielle is someone that I have to be careful of because she had one of the top talk shows in Los Angeles.
It was the number one talk show for its time slot. And out of everything, out of 119 stations, it was number 8 out of rock and roll and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I like to talk.
you be quiet, Marielle, because I don't want you...
I promise, unless you ask me.
Okay. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Francis from Concord, California.
Hi, Francis.
And this is Susan in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Wynn.
Am I allowed to say hi to anybody?
Marielle?
Hi. Don't worry, I'm just busting your chops.
Okay.
The name of my show was
Kansas.
Back Talk.
Wait a second. Marielle, be quiet.
Yep.
Okay. Who was that? I heard a man's voice.
Terrence in Kansas.
Hi, Terrence.
Hi, how you doing?
Terrence, is this your first time?
Yes, sir.
Well, so nice to have you. And are you on message today?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
I had just recently sent you an email that I hadn't gotten bonuses, and you sent me the link back, and we're doing good.
Oh, I remember. Okay,
yeah.
Super. Well, Carla Rucker's going to be on with us tonight. She's listening to you all, so be on good behavior.
Well, that's why
always.
I said it's going to be a wonderful evening tonight, because I knew Carla was going to be here. Welcome. And thank you for joining us.
Oh, wait a second. I haven't introduced her yet. She's sitting in the background.
Okay. Sorry. That's why I didn't want to break the news. I thought I'd let you. So.
Okay. That's okay. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
This is Vilma
from
Troy,
Michigan.
Wait a second. I got Vilma. And who is the other person?
Nancy.
Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
In what city?
Troy, Michigan.
Michigan. And anyone else that hasn't said their
Hi,
name?
Hi, Wynn. It's Beth from El Segundo, California.
Hi, Beth.
Hey. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Did you know, for a few years, I used to do the El Segundo Street Fair?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I used to sell little things at street fairs, and El Segundo, I blew my mind when I went to El Segundo, because I said, where did this town come from, so close?
I know, we just moved here a year ago, too. It is Mayberry. It's unbelievable.
Know it.
It's the land that time forgot. It really is.
So I'm very familiar with El Segundo, and I like it. You know, when I was in L.A., and I wanted to get away from it all, I would go to El Segundo.
I know, exactly. I know.
Yeah.
It really is something different.
As long, it's very interesting because I'm kind of far out to talk to anybody in El Segundo. It's fairly conservative. But
it seems to be, yeah. But, you know, people are moving in and out all the time, so.
There's an interesting phenomena. The towns that are fairly conservative usually have a strong town vibe, pride, mm-hmm. you know, a more cohesive energy. Towns that are not like that, do you know?
That's probably true. Because people are staying in place more, I think.
Right, right. Yeah. But they're not open-minded. But
that's the drawback.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you don't open your mouth and you watch them, it's a nice place to be.
Exactly.
Okay, this is Lynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
What was the question?
Nope. I hear somebody beeped in, and you don't have to identify yourself. You can be anonymous if you want. But
Terry in Sacramento.
Mary? Is that Mary?
Terry.
Oh, Terry. Terry from Sacramento.
Yes.
Is this your first time, Terry? No. You were here before.
Actually, it's probably the first time I've said anything.
Have you been a submarine? That's what I call people that listen in and don't identify themselves.
I just started listening recently.
It's nice to have you, and this is going to be a really special show tonight. Who else is on the line? I'd like to say their name in the city.
This is Alan in Sedona.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
Now, Alan is one of the most eccentric people. Believe it or not, all he does is ride a bicycle to places. And, can I say you're eccentric, Alan? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. I say it in a good way, okay? You're not polluting the environment, and you keep yourself in really good health. So, thanks for being here again. And this is Whit. This is Lynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? I heard somebody be pinned. Is Terry
from San Diego's here?
We all live in a yellow submarine.
Jackie from San Diego?
Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. Who was singing Yellow Submarine?
Carla.
Okay. This is Lynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? Hello?
Oh,
see, yes. Carla, that's a submarine, right?
That's why I was singing.
Okay, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? All right. Well, okay, now that you're all here, before I mute you all, why don't you all say hello to everybody that's listening in BBS. You ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Okay. Now we're going to dump them. Hang on. No, we won't. Is Terry Brown on? Where is Terry? Okay. Well, thank you all for being here. And you know what? As the show goes on, you're all going to have a chance to ask questions of Paula Rucker, who is I won't call you my guest, my associate, because we're equal here, even though it's my show. It's our show because we're one. And Carla is one of the most respected people who do channeling on the planet. And if you ever read her reviews on Amazon, her work is considered the purest, the most together, the most, how can I say it, far out. and she channeled.
All callers are muted.
Many of you on the line who have checked out my material or bought my platinum package have gotten Carla's two of Carla's raw books as PDFs, as that. And there's the case made that there is a connection between the voice that came through David Wilcock and the voice that comes through Carla Rucker. And she has dedicated herself with an intense purity of purpose for her life since 1981. In those days, I think she was trying to be a movie star. Weren't you going to be a movie actress, Carla?
No, actually, the only reason that I did a movie was because we were trying to learn the business so that we could make a movie of a novel that Don Elkins and I had written in 1969.
Uh-huh.
So we found a fellow that said if the movie had sex and violence in it, he'd produce it. So we wrote a script with sex and violence in it. But, of course, it being Don and me, it turned out to be a comedy. So the topless lady that was going to play the lead part bailed the day of shooting and said she was not a comedian, she was a movie star, and was never seen again. So, in addition to being the script secretary and everything else around the set, I took my shirt off and became the head zombie lady. It was not my best gig, but at least I knew the lines. Other than that, I have no interest in being in the movies.
Did you get union scale?
Huh? I didn't get paid, actually.
Oh, you did?
being the one that, you know, was behind the scenes, you know, obviously I wasn't going to pay me. We needed the money to pay the people that were there that needed paying. Anyway, I was very proud of the movie because of the fact that we put it in the can and it came out, which is more than, half the movies begun in Hollywood do.
Mm-hmm.
It's still hanging around the ether somewhere in out-of-print DVDs I don't think it even made it that far. I think it's in an audio, a video cassette, but it's called
what?
The Girl Snatchers. That was my one movie.
The Girl Snatchers.
The Girl Snatchers, yeah.
And it was a sci-fi movie, right?
Well, it was supposed to be a drive-in movie, but of course, like I said, Don and I were writing it, so it had, in addition to zombies, it had ETs and all kinds of fun. One of the characters, who was a magician, all of his lines came right out of OWASP. we had a good time.
Were you channeling at the time you did the movie?
I have been channeling since 1974. I wasn't channeling at the time I made the movie, which was 1972. I'd been meditating with the Elkins group since 1962, but until he ran out of other channels, I really wasn't that interested. I did it because he asked me to do it in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a lot. It took me like 2 months to get the first contact that said anything except, you know, I am Hatan, I'm having trouble with this instrument. But once I picked it up, then I got really interested in it after I discovered that it was actually happening to me. So I've spent a lot of time since then pondering how I can make the contact better, how I can prepare myself better, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, the first time that a voice came through you, did you have the thought that it might be your imagination? Or did
No.
You,
no, that didn't enter into it because I'd been so familiar with the phenomenon and seen it happen from the very beginning. In 1974, I'd been listening to these cosmic sermonettes for 12 years. And
mm-hmm.
we produced them from nothing. I mean, these were 12 physics students doing an experiment. And after about 6 months, everybody in the group that wanted to channel was channeling. And interestingly enough, the messages that were being channeled were about 95% the same as the messages that were in the material from which Elkins got the idea for doing this experiment. It was a group up in Detroit called Man Consciousness and Understanding. And in that material was the instruction for how to produce a channeling circle. And Don just followed the instructions. So I didn't have any problem with is it me or is it Memorex. I was just having trouble catching a clear channel. Finally, I realized that what happens is that the thought cluster that comes into your mind, if you say it, then you'll get another one. If you don't say it, then it'll stop. And so ever since then, I've considered myself more of a translator than a channel.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm taking these nice, fat, almost infinite concepts and trying to roll them out and stamp cookie-cutter words out of them to get the gist of what's being given to me. So
mm-hmm.
it's really kind of mechanical. It's as much of a of a craft as it is an art.
So Don was able to take anybody and turn them into a channel.
Well, he could do it in 5 minutes if you did exactly what he said, and especially if he found somebody that was interested in being hypnotized. Once the person was hypnotized, all he had to do was explain the concept of, you know, typing what was coming into his mind. And all of those experiments, of which there were about 100, came out with exactly the same message. It's always the same message. All is one. That one thing is love. And we are interactive parts of a unified creation, which is made of love and manifested by light, over and over. But, of course, as they say, the message is ever and always the same. So they really like having channels, because every channel is a different prism through which the light comes. So the story becomes more interesting when it's passed through an earth channel.
Did Don channel himself?
Yeah, he was the senior channel that taught me how to, they taught me through him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't do it unless he had to, but he could.
Mm-hmm. So he was the Don one of the first beings or intelligences that came through?
Say again.
Atan, was Atan one of the first intelligences?
Yes, Atan was the first, I think. I'd have to go back and look at the archives. Atan, Latos, Aksal, those were three of the early ones, Latwi. And then before I learned more about how to tune myself and how to challenge a contact, I was getting a lot of visitors. you know, like, for instance, I channeled Earth at one point.
Sure.
And, somebody in the group had said, well, what does Earth feel about all of this? Thinking that you know, whoever I had on the horn from the Confederation was going to explain how Earth felt. So you get, I am Earth. you know? And Earth is indeed, or I should say Gaia, is indeed a very lively and fully aware entity, just not a human one.
Mm-hmm. How long were you channeling all these different sources before you started doing the Ra channeling?
The contact with those of Ra, the first one came in January of 1981. 3 weeks after Jim McCarty had come to join up with Don and me as in living in community. And
because
so at that point, I'd been channeling since 74, so that would make 7 years or so.
Mm-hmm. And you had never gone unconscious before, though, had you?
Only once. A good friend of mine, Elaine Flaherty, married to a good friend of mine, Tom Flaherty, died far too young. She was only 39. But she had had juvenile diabetes, and it got her finally. The kidneys failed. And then she got some infections, so she passed. And Tom asked me if I would see if I could find his wife, because of the fact that before she died, she promised him that she'd let him know she was all right. And I said, okay, reluctantly. I've been to a lot of seances, and it has not been my observation that the personality shell of a being that has passed has a lot to say, but of interest, you know. But that's what he wanted. He was a friend of mine, so I did it. And I didn't realize that I'd passed out until I woke up, and they were going, this is great. It's like she's in the room, you know. So, and I felt very tired, and I didn't much like doing it. I think I may have repeated this because he just wanted to be sure. And the results were good again. And I said, well, Tom, you know, this isn't really my thing, and I don't really like to do it. So he let me off the hook after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was probably 6 months before the rock people came through. And the first time they came through, of course, I was perfectly conscious and was able to challenge them with my customary fierceness. And so it is always a comfort to me that I knew that Rob passed that challenge with flying colors, because after that I would never got a chance to challenge. I would be out before the contact was made.
Mm-hmm. When you started out with the Ra contact, did you know you were going to become a legend?
Well, a legend in my own mind. You have to remember that this is a very small, specialized branch of research, and I'm a legend to at least three different people. But thank you for the compliment.
Well, you know what? You have brought forth stuff that I think, assuming the world lasts long enough, it will just go on forever.
I do think it's timeless. You know, I've been studying the material ever since it was received, because
mm-hmm.
it's quite obviously of a different caliber than conscious channeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I dearly love the dry humor and the endless wisdom of the Ra group. And my husband Jim and I have been studying it ever since it was produced. And it's funny, it meets you where you are. I still, to this day, I'll say, Jim, would you read that again? I hadn't heard that before, at least not that way. We
mm-hmm.
read it every morning along with the Bible and other things
mm-hmm.
that we do in our morning offering.
Well, Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Carla, do you know who Terry is? Did you ever
Terry.
Talk to Terry?
Is Terry your special friend?
Well,
if
you know the story of Daphne, and then Daphne left me, and then Terry
mm-hmm.
started channeling.
Terry, and Terry's the other one that has that you've been right. around and goosed into channeling. Yeah.
Right.
Hi, Terry.
Yes. Hi there. That's me.
Yeah.
I appreciate the work you do. I enjoyed listening to you just now. Compare experiences.
Sure.
Terry, why don't you share your experience when you channel with Carla and let her give her counsel. Terry's very shy. I put her on the spot now. Oh, she thinks, oh, no.
Yes. One of the things is When I used to speak before groups, I would be extraordinarily shy and tongue-tied. And when I channel, it's a little bit better because it's not me that's coming through. So I enjoy, it's like not getting butterflies beforehand so much. And sometimes I start to get nervous, and I ask them, I say, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to say? And sometimes I get inklings of it, but other times they say, we aren't going to tell you until it happens, and we'll tell you then, but don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's really better if you don't have anything going in, if you go in clean.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I get the same thing. I get like clusters of ideas, and sometimes I sense that they want to go way beyond my intelligence, and I don't have the vocabulary, and I don't have the intelligence to go every place they want to go.
Well, yes, you just have to do the best you can. I can't tell you how many times that I've heard channeled through my instrument. We're sorry, but this instrument does not have the ability to speak to this scientific question, but we will give her what we can, you know. But, I mean, it's enough. I mean, it's all right. they appreciate you just as you are. But I do think that if you could just take a concept that they give you, and if you were fully able to explicate it, you'd be talking for a long, long time. It's longer. I have never had the feeling after a channeling session that I've got it all. I've always had this feeling that there were fascinating, you know, vistas that I couldn't get out before the energy meant that I needed to let that go and let the next concept come.
Mm-hmm. I have the same thing to the point that I'll give a channeling and then next day I'll be at work and part of the sentences of the channeling will suddenly open up and there's whole new vistas and I wish that I could get it down or say it somewhere, but I'm at work and I can't.
That's a good question. Carla, do they talk to you of a group?
No, I am very careful about that. I only open for channeling after I've tuned so that I am my own highest and best within myself, and I know my energy body's clear and working fine. And also, I never accept a contact unless it's been, unless I've challenged it three times and it's passed the challenge all three times. And there's a reason for that. For instance, let me give you an example of a good reason. Recently, I was just lying in bed in the process of going to sleep, and just as you said, Terry, I started getting a reel unfolding in my head, and it had to do with how perhaps in order to be a more pure channel, I should give up sex with my husband. And a red flag went up there because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, because of the peculiarity of the raw contact being beyond my conscious, you know, ability to affect it, that Ra had said several times that how helpful Jim's energy exchanges were to me, because I've always been in guarded health my whole life and I don't have very much physical energy, and the energy exchange helps me out a lot. So I knew that was not right, and I snapped out of my half awake, half asleep state, and I challenged, and of course the entity fled. The love and light of Jesus the Christ just couldn't handle it and went away. So it's just, I'm very careful to have things in order before I accept the challenge. Now, that's not true when I am working with my guidance. Then I am totally safe because it's within me. And it's not the same kind of contact at all. It's an inner planes contact. And then I would definitely feel free to communicate, to converse with the Holy Spirit. But even then, you see, I do structure that. I do that early in the morning before I even get up. Every day I talk with, I call her Holly. I figure the Holy Spirit probably gets tired of being called that all the time. So my little flame of the Holy Spirit's called Holly. Anyway, I talk to Holly every morning. And I have the computer on, and I type it out, you know, good morning, Holly, what's your good word for the day? And then she'll talk to me on the computer with me typing. So I'm pretty much of a person that doesn't take this casually at all. And especially since as Wynn said, I've become more visible. And for sure, I would not want to mislead anybody. So I'm really, really careful with the channeling. I encourage everybody to do that, Terry. You know, if you've never read my little book on on channeling, a channeling handbook, it's online for free download, plus the whole weekend of talks that I gave to the incoming channeling circle that we started a little over a year ago now, is also online, so that you can read everything I know or pretend to know or think I know about channeling and the whole channeling process is on the website www.llresearch.org in the library section in Carla's page. I think it's called Carla's Niche, and you click on that, and a whole bunch of selections come up, and one of them is gatherings, and click on the gatherings, and click on Channeling Intensive 1, and that whole set of teaching tapes will come up, or teaching texts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're certainly welcome to take a look at them if there's anything you'd like to know about what I think.
That's very good. I was taught to channel by Cheryl Taylor. I don't know if you've heard of her.
No. That doesn't mean she's not great. I just haven't done my homework. And how does she teach?
She was a channel in California.
Wait a second. You guys are talking at the same time. Terry, go ahead.
Cheryl Taylor was a channel in California, and it sort of overwhelmed her. She got quite ill and lost a lot of weight, and then she started gaining weight, and her pituitary went kind of crazy, and she got a tumor on her pituitary or something, and so then she withdrew a lot, and that was a great loss for me because I love to go to her channelings.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of channels have talked about having ill health. I had ill health before I started channeling, and it really hasn't gotten any worse. So I don't think the channeling has harmed me any. How did she teach you to prepare for channeling, Terry?
We had one class, and she was there talking us through it, and I'm not sure what the protection clauses were. So I didn't do any more channeling and after that until I started channeling with Wynn. And the protection clauses are good. Because sometimes it's not the right entity, and they don't pass the challenge.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
And then I've also had it one time where I was in the middle of a channeling, and suddenly the information just wasn't right, and I had to just totally come to a halt and
I think that's the great advantage of conscious channeling is that you can stop it. If it doesn't feel right, you can just, you know, exercise your right as the instrument and say, no, this isn't the piece I want to play. Stop it. Good for you for doing that.
Carla, I have a good question, and that is, you know, I think when people first hear about channeling, they say, well, so what? What's the good of talking to guys in other realms? How does that help me? And you have, first of all, been, I'm sure anyone that gets involved in channeling positive sources ends up going through growth as a result. And people around them probably go through certain kinds of growth. And so could you share a little bit about how your channeling experience has changed your life and the people around you?
Well, I really don't get the feeling that it's changed my life at all. It's made it richer. I was set on a mystical Christian journey from before I can remember. I knew Jesus personally as a little toddler. Mom swore that she never said the name to me before I said it to her. And it just was one of those things where I had a magic kingdom and Jesus was in it. And he'd hold my hand, and I'd look into his eyes. I'd know what love was. He was very real to me. So I am a servant of Jesus the Christ. However, I'm a mystic. I don't do dogma. If I had to do dogma, I wouldn't be going to church. Fortunately, I'm an Episcopalian, and Episcopalians are very civilized about dogma. They figure if you don't get it, you know, just don't worry about it. Maybe it'll come to you. And so you don't have to be dogmatic. You can be a mystic and be an Episcopalian, which is great. But what I'm trying to say here is that although the channeling has enriched my life greatly in terms of giving me a larger canvas than the Christian way in which to place my walk in Christ, it hasn't changed. But what has changed is that I get mail every day from all over the world from people that are thanking me for the work, and that this particular body of work of the Confederation channeling, and especially the Law of One channeling, has changed their lives. And so I know that I'm on a right road as far as my service. And can you imagine the joy of being able to continue in the work from 74 when I started channeling until now, and I still channel. LNL Research has four public meetings every month from September to May. And two of those meetings are channeled meditations, two are silent. So twice a month I do public channeling. And that's on BBS Radio, by the way,
mm-hmm.
on a Saturday night and again on Sunday morning.
Is that a live channeling?
Huh? It's not live because I only do it once every 2 weeks. So, you know, there'd be an off week. And then
mm-hmm.
in the summer, I don't channel at all. I take 3 months off and breathe. But we send in a recent channeling on the off week. And gradually, you know, we're fortunate. I've been channeling a long time. And we have the, I think you're still hearing channelings that are in maybe 2005 now on the off week or in the summer. It'll take
mm-hmm.
a long time to work, you know, the way back all the way through those many years, probably longer than I or BBS Radio will be around. There's a
mm-hmm.
lot of channeling in there, about 1,500 sessions, so my webmaster tells me, and no, maybe closer to 1,600 by now because he told me that 2 years ago. So anyway, there's access to the channelings about a week after I do the channeling. I channel on second and fourth Saturdays. And so on probably first and third Saturdays, you'll be hearing last week's channeling. And then
mm-hmm.
on the off week, you'll hear a recent channeling that is not, you know, brand new, hot off the CD recorder.
You know, we are still, every Tuesday night, Wayne Smallridge in South Carolina reads one of your call readings on our conference call.
Oh, you told me about that. And you said that the energy of the channeling came through loud and clear. Isn't that great?
Yes. And in fact, I don't know, let me see if Wayne's on the line. He should be. Sometimes he has obligations. Hang on, I'm going to open up the line.
All callers are unmuted.
Wayne, are you on the line? Uh-oh. Wayne?
All callers are muted.
Wayne, one of the best stories of our Tuesday night channeling when we do the, have Carla, when he reads one of the call readings, is Wayne got stuck on a word in the channeling. And suddenly this strange voice came on the phone and pronounced the word, and it wasn't anybody on the phone.
Oh, that's cute.
I mean, we've had strange things happen. Like, one time I sent somebody an email with a channeling in the middle of the night, and their computer turned on and printed the channeling. And, of course, they were sleeping, and they said, why is my printer turning on? So, you know, there's all these indications that there is an interaction between realms that that they're watching us as we do this stuff, and occasionally they do something funny to make their presence known.
I'm not sure if it's that they're watching us, as that they have like a proximity alert that goes off when somebody is getting close to their vibratory
right
level.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's
so that if somebody's asking for them, they go, oh yeah, you know, and they're there. It's very it's instantaneous, I think. But it's not like that they're, you know, peering in our windows and trying to watch our every move. It's not like that at all.
That's right. Channels can still go to the bathroom and know that they have some privacy.
This is right. This would not be of interest.
Right. You know, for people that are listening for the first time and are not completely aware of Carla, she started channeling in 1981 a voice that identified itself as Ra, and that for 5 years, her channeling partner, Don Elkins, asked all these questions about how the universe worked to this voice, and Carla was in a trance and answered all the questions with all very, very far-out understanding of things that there was no way a human could, it would even a creative, imaginative human would have a hard time, how can I say it, putting all that together.
Well,
and
there are some, a couple of the sessions at the beginning of book two, or I still groan when we get to them in the readings because I just have so much trouble understanding what they're saying. It's just,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yet at the same time, you really want to understand because they're talking about how the universe began.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Don, of course, was the best questioner in the world because he was a physics and engineering teacher at
mm-hmm.
University, and he had been researching the paranormal since 1955 and had either talked on the phone or come to visit tons of people in the field, including a whole lot of early UFO contactees. So when he got to have a conversation with those of Ra, he was ready. He was loaded for bear.
Right.
And asked the questions in a scientific way because that's the way his mind worked. And I think that's one reason the material is so accessible to people of this day and age, because we all, you know, with using the computer, using electronics and so forth, we've all become more of that cast of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so his method of questioning and the way he questioned, it really rings a bell with people. He's asking the questions the way they'd like to ask them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way that I normally describe Ra when I'm doing talks about it, trying to let people have an intuitive grasp, in making it very simple, is that the way the universe works is that we go through all these lifetimes in what Ra calls third density, and eventually we graduate. And that when we graduate, one of the possible destinations is for our soul energy to meld with this group which has identified itself as the Ra group, and it's got millions, I don't know how many, but millions or billions of individual entities. I know some, they described that particularly from Venus at one point, that there was graduates from Venus, and this group energy now acts as a helper for planets at lower levels of evolution, or third density like ours. So the Ra group has been involved with Earth, and they were involved with the pyramids. In fact, the thing that originally got me involved with studying Carla's material was when I was researching the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I had come up, David had mentioned her, and I had read many, many Edgar Cayce books years and years ago, and I know that Edgar Cayce had said that he was a high priest in Egypt by the name of Rata, and that he built the pyramids, and that he built them by levitation, or that they were built by levitation, but it wasn't ever referenced to a group soul. But the Ra group said that they had discovered a high priest in Egypt, and they worked, they had an affinity with this high priest and built the pyramids by levitation, and it was the same time period as Edgar Cayce described. So that kind of rocked me, because I said, man, this has got to be real. This group has to exist. And I actually drove to Laughlin, Nevada, where Carla was giving a talk at a UFO show, and I don't think you knew I was coming or even knew who I was.
I did. I sure did. I invited you, and I blew you away. You said, gosh, I've talked to some people before, and they didn't want to know me when they were talking in public. He said, you actually invited me to your motel room. I said, well, sure. You're a friend of mine.
Oh.
Don't you remember?
I remember. Yeah. Did you know I was coming? Did I tell you
I
was coming?
Yeah. I invited you. I said, hey, I'm going to be in Laughlin. Are you close?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. I can't remember. I sat in her motel room. She did a channeling with a group of people. And I sat at her booth. She had a little table where they were selling their Ra books.
Lynn was the best salesman we ever had.
Right.
He sold many books. He buttonholed people. You got to read this stuff.
And so that's how we met. And that was one of the things. You know, I had to talk to Carla personally. And I remember the real thing I wanted to ask her was about Edgar Cayce and if she had ever read about the Edgar Cayce readings, where Cayce described his past life as Ra-Ta, where he built the pyramids by levitation. And she told me she hadn't, and she only had read the health readings from Edgar Cayce. And so that was one of the things that said, I'm going to write this book. You know what, at 7:45, when we're supposed to be off in probably about 6 minutes, and I wanted to open up the lines to see if anyone wants to ask a question. And Carla, this has been a lot of fun having you on this line. I'm so glad.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That you've come on and shared yourself. But let me open up the lines.
All callers are unmuted.
Everybody is unmuted right now. So would any of you like to ask a question? And if somebody wants to call BBS and ask a question, the phone number is, let's see. I wrote the number down.
Starts with 888.
888-389-3452. And I know I haven't given you guys a lot of space to ask questions, and maybe Carla will come on again and we'll start with questions earlier. But,
I'd be delighted to win.
Thank you. Anyone?
I have a question.
Yes. Say your name.
I'm Glenda. Carla, I have never known anyone personally who channels. So what I'm going to ask probably, you know, but since I have been on Wynn's conference lines, it's been, I think, about a month is all. My crown chakra, it does it at home when I meditate now also, just opens really, it's the whole top of my head, and I feel energy coming down, and it's really strong. What is that? Can you tell me?
Well, there's a gateway from the energy body of us in incarnation to the metaphysical realm or the inner planes of our planet that opens up at the crown chakra. It's sort of, if the top of your head, the very tip of your head, were like the candle top, then when you're seeking inspiration and information from above, and your energy body is really clear and the energy is really pouring through, and you set an intention to receive inspiration, you're going to get the flame of that candle will be lit And it's moving through the gateway. It's receiving information. The information is coming down. It's seating itself in the heart chakra, not in terms of words, but in terms of energy. And then it's going where it needs to go. If you're a healer, it stays in the green ray chakra. If you're a communicator or teacher or a channel or a creative writer, it's going to stay. It's going to move up to the blue ray, the throat chakra. If you're doing work in consciousness where you simply want to achieve unity with the creator and radiancy of being, it will be at the brow chakra, but it's coming down through the violet ray chakra at the crown. So you're feeling the energy of that exchange, the energy exchange through the gateway to intelligent infinity, to use the term that the Ra group used for that. Does that make sense?
Yes. I knew it was something like that, or felt it was, but I you know, didn't know for sure, and I really needed to ask someone.
Well, if it ever bothers you, all you have to do to interrupt the flow of that is, like, just very physically, just very simply, straighten your hair, you know, that brushing motion, and that brushes everything out of the aura for a minute, and so you can kind of like do a reset like that. But
no,
it doesn't bother you.
It seems like when I stop meditating or concentrating, you know, when we're on the line,
mm-hmm.
When I stop, then it stops.
Yes, that's the way it should be.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
We have time for one more question.
Yes.
Who has a question?
Wait
a second. Who said I have a question?
Yes, this is Maya.
Maya?
Yes.
We'll get to you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, we're going to sign off from BBS shortly, but we can stay on the conference line. And if any of you are on BBS, want to tune into the conference line and listen to, and have a question, we'll hang out for a little longer. So the phone number for the conference line is 218-936-1100, and the PIN is 37525#. I'll say that again. 218-936-1100. And the PIN is 37525#. 37525#. And you're all welcome, those of you who are listening on BBS, to join the conference line, because we're not going to have time to get your questions. And in fact, we're going to say goodbye to you now on BBS and let you know I have a service that's called messageaday.net. Messageaday.net, all one word. And you can get a short transcript of one of the sources that I feel positive and has something to contribute to you every day. And Carla's excerpts from Carla's work are part of that. And also on Tuesday nights, we read a Carla Rucker channeling of Quo on the same conference line number at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I don't know if we're off. He may have cut us off. But do you have anything to say to the BBS listeners, Carla?
Me?
Yeah.
No, just thank you so much for listening. It's just been such a pleasure to share energy with you. God bless.
And Carla's website is llresearch.org, and she's got loads and loads of posted on her website. She has a community, and you're all welcome to check that out. And we will say goodbye to BBS, and we'll continue on our phone line, and that way everyone will have time to ask. Is that okay with you, Carla, to hang out for
sure.
a bit? Okay.
Sure, I am.
Okay, just making sure. And so, let's see. Maya had a question, so go ahead, Maya.
Yes. I can, I know that Endosphere, that I can channel energy, and I also noticed that if I am...
Maya
using words like speaking and talking with people or reading words confuse the energy around me.
Uh-huh.
And I would be interested, how could that be helped or healed, that the words, the spoken word, would be in harmony with the energy that is flowing through me? Because I get very positive results if I make a day of commitment to silence, as opposed to days when I speak. It seems like that it is completely two different sources.
I'm not sure I understand your question precisely, so stop me if I've got it wrong. I was a little distracted. There was some background noise there. But the value of a spoken as opposed to an unspoken communication is that it can be shared. So what you want to do if you're going to do a spoken communication is to spend some time tuning yourself so that you know that you're very stable and calm and your energy is moving up cleanly and clearly and fully throughout your energy body and just zooming right through and off the top of your head. And then you've prepared yourself all that you can. So you didn't say you were channeling. You just said you were aware of energy, so you're probably doing this from the inner planes. The thing about words is that if you have a feeling for words, sometimes you can help to shape a communication simply by the care with which you pick the word you use. For instance, if you're going to say something about throwing a ball, you know, you could toss the ball, you could hurl the ball, you could throw the ball. You know, there are different verbs for the same thing, it goes by pretty quickly, but I think that you can have some input as to what words you use and how you choose to shape your sentences that do add, I think, to the proper vibration of the communication.
Why does this work take so much effort as opposed to be effortless?
Well, it is effortless in that you're in the moment and you're just repeating what you're getting or what you're sensing or feeling. The care is all in the preparation. I don't feel that it's hard to channel. It's hard to do it well. And so I think that I'm always, you know, taking that special care, trying to do the best job I can just to push the envelope of excellence a little bit, because I really do want to, you know, do a 100% job. But I think in general talking is harder to do than just sitting there and allowing the energy to flow through you, don't you? It's always harder to have to put a word to it. I'm not one of those that springs into speech. I just as soon, you know, let the mystery abide. But then you can't carry, you can't give that to anybody. So I think that it's worth it for the effort to put it into words.
You know, Carla, I would like to mention that if someone's in a place in their life where they're going through a lot of the changes, they're ungrounded, that may not be a good time to look to do channeling.
Not at all, no. Now, yeah. Channeling is not something to take lightly because of the fact that it's a crowded universe out there. And the reason that I developed my tuning and my challenging techniques to such a high degree was that I saw people whose personalities were disintegrated by the force of an unfortunate energy exchange with an unchallenged entity that came when the person was, as Wynn said, in a bad place. I've seen three different people that were in our group, these are in the old days, fall into a fugue or go into an absolute disconnected state where they ended up in a mental hospital. and had to be helped. So I know that it's not a joke. It's not a, oh, this will be fun, let's try it, let's get out the Ouija board. Don't do that. Do not do that. Please don't do that. It is like getting somebody on the telephone. You don't want to talk to the salesman. You don't want to listen to a come on. You don't want to waste your time. So you would never just pick up the phone and talk to whoever was, you know, just dial at random. You want to pick your person. So what you do is you figure your energy is like a radio transceiver. You pick up energy, you send energy, you even transmute energy. So what you want to do is tune yourself just like you tune a radio until your particular instrument is glowing the brightest it can glow in a stable way. And then you want to tune in the radio station that's incoming that is compatible with your energy. So I tune to the unconditional love of Jesus the Christ the best I can. Obviously, I'm a bozo, so how fully successful am I going to be? But I try. And then I ask for the energy of Jesus the Christ, unconditional love, in whatever the highest and best contact I can carry in a stable and conscious manner. And then when I get that, then my job is done, and I just let the channeling happen. But, of course, from the inside out, the channeling doesn't feel smooth. It feels like I'm playing catch, you know. Catch a concept, toss out the words. Catch a concept.